Good morning, church.
Good morning.
The scripture reading from this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And it reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head, and chains about thy neck." Once again, that's the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 7 through 9.
Amen. Church, say amen again.
Amen.
Let me say good morning to you.
Morning.
And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. It's good to see you. It's good to see so many. We're thankful for your presence. And we're certainly thankful for our visitors. We are delighted that you have come to be with us on this occasion. And we don't take that for granted. We want you to feel at home with us. And we certainly believe that when you come here one time, we want you to feel like you're right at home. And we just want to make sure that if you have any questions about anything you see, anything you hear, especially from the pulpit, I believe that when we preach the word of God, we ought to let God do the talking as much as possible. And we ought to back him up with scripture. He gave us the word of God, and we ought to utilize the word of God. And so if we say anything that is not right, or if anything that you hear and you need more clarification, please don't hesitate to ask, and we'll do our level best to get you a Bible answer for a Bible question. This morning, I'd make sure it's there. Do not forsake thy mother's law. Since it's Mother's Day, we ought to talk about mothers. And we want you to understand that you ought not to forsake thy mother's law. 1905, a lady named Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia, her mother died. And in 1907, she began to campaign for the honoring of mothers. And in 1910 in West Virginia, that was the first state to recognize Mother's Day. And a year later, nearly every state officially marked the day. Then in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day a national holiday for the second Sunday of May. Anna Jarvis' accomplishments, though, became a bitter disappointment. She became enraged by the commercialization of this particular day. She, in fact, filed a lawsuit to stop a Mother's Day celebration in 1923. She was arrested for disturbing the peace at a war mother's convention where white carnations were being sold, which happened to be the symbol for mothers. And she was upset because they were selling these for money in an attempt to raise money. Her complaint was, "I wanted it to be a day of sentiment and not profit." Well, it's a day of profit. It's definitely a day of profit. But it remains a day of sentiment as well. Today, many mothers are happy to receive flowers and cards and gifts, and they're excited to see what their children would get them for the Mother's Day and what they'll do for them to honor them. So it remains a day of sentiment, but also it certainly is commercialized as well.
Yes,
and so we understand her complaint with what she was aiming for, and it did not come to fruition. But you think about Mother's Day, and you think about children who honor their mothers. And sometimes we don't always do the best in honoring our mothers. We take a day like today on Mother's Day, and we might show up, we might go to worship with them, or we might take them out to dinner, we might do many things, we may buy some gifts and various things that we can do and say, "Hey, we appreciate you, we appreciate you." I'd rather have a child that kind of shows that all the time and that honors mothers all the time. However, this is a day, and so folks will set it aside, and if they haven't played nice all year, they'll play nice on this day. But I have a better way. I have a better way. A better way is biblical, the biblical way. What you heard in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through verse number 9, The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I want you to understand something. He says, you hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of thy mothers. We want to talk about the mother's law and the reason you shouldn't forsake your mother's law.
Yes.
You shouldn't forsake your mother's law. But first of all, let's talk about what constitutes a mother's law. Well, the first thing you would appreciate is the law of the mother is obedience. Every mother wants her children to be obedient. And I would say to every child, keep your mother's law. But now when I say child, you might think because you're an adult, I'm not talking to you. I'm absolutely talking to you. Keep your mother's law. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. But listen, I want you to appreciate something. The Bible says this is right. Why is it right? Because it's appointed by God. God has appointed that children should obey their parents. And the Bible says this is right. In other words, the God who appointed it always does that which is good. If it were not good, God wouldn't have appointed it. The fact that God appointed it means that God can only appoint that which is holy, that which is just, and that which is good. And God has appointed that the children should obey their parents. And it's good for many reasons, my friends. It's good. It's right. It's right for the good of the family name. You all remember when a name meant something? You all remember when your children couldn't go out and act crazy in the community because you were concerned about what it would say about your name. They had to carry the family name. And so it's good for the family name, but it's also good for society. It's good for the community when children obey their parents. It's right and good for the welfare of the child. The child is not able to take care and provide for themselves or instruct themselves. It's good for their well-being. The Bible says it's right. It's right because the Lord said so. That's why it's right. The Lord said it's right. And that's why Solomon in Proverbs chapter 1 is instructing his son. Hear it again. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be ornaments of grace around thy head and chains about thy neck. To truly profit from instruction, one must have a mind that possesses a holy and reverent awe for God.
Amen.
And to confirm this truth, he observes that the fool has no regard for God. So he despises wisdom and instruction. What that looks like to you and me is this. When you meet a person and you come in contact with a person who does not listen to anyone, you know what I'm talking about. You've probably met one or two in your lifetime. When you meet those people and you have to say to this individual, you can't tell you nothing. Sometimes you say, can't nobody tell you anything. You won't listen to anybody. They won't listen to parents. They won't listen to siblings. They won't listen to anyone who has been mentors to them. They won't listen to anyone. Whenever you find someone like that, I just want you to appreciate that there is a deeper issue at work. And the deeper issue is this. They have no respect nor regard for the God of heaven.
Amen.
They have a disrespect and a disregard for the God of heaven. That's why he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's the principal part. That's the beginning stage. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. By the time they won't listen to you, it's because they have no healthy respect and regard for the God of heaven. That's why they get that way. That's why they won't listen to their parents. That's why they won't listen to anyone else who try to tell them the right thing. Well, he tells them to receive and retain the good lessons and laws that their parents gave them. Hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Your mother's law is obedience. And do not forsake it. You know, there's nothing that can compare. Now listen, many of you are going to gonna, many of you today are probably gonna take your mothers out to dinner. Okay, now we got some food back there. If you wanna stay here, you can take them out to dinner right here, won't cost you anything, okay? So if you're looking for a little less expensive way out. But many of you probably gonna take your parents out to, take your mother out for dinner. And you'll buy her a nice meal. Some of you have already got nice gifts and things like that that you're going to present to your mother. But listen, there is no greater gift than you can give to your mother than when a child rehearses to his or her mother what they taught them in childhood and how they continue to live according to that law to this day. Let me ask you a question. It's rhetorical, but you think about it. If you have a living mother, when's the last time you had that talk with her where you and your mother sat down and you talked about all those things that you remember that she taught you? And you said to her, I remember when you said this. I remember when you told me this. And you remember when I kind of didn't agree with you right there, and but I kept that in my heart. And then later on, I applied that wisdom, and boy, it worked out for me. I'm so thankful for you, because all of the things that you taught me, I remember them, and I still live according to them this day. When the last time you had that talk with your mother?
Yes, man.
I just had my mother here for about just close to a month. And boy, did we talk about some of those things. And I told her about the things. I said, Mama, you remember when you told me this? And you remember when you shared that with me? You remember when you told me that and you told me that? Do you not know I still live according to those things that you taught me? And boy, you talking about the smile that was on her face. What am I saying? You did a good job. Now, that's worth a lot of gifts. That's worth a lot of dinners. To know that your children are still in compliance and obedience to those things that you taught them so long ago in childhood. Solomon said, do not forsake the law of thy mother. Now that is the Hebrew word, forsake is natash. He says, do not forsake the law. In other words, it means to pound or to smite. It means to disperse or to thrust off, to throw down, to cast out. He's saying when your mother teaches you her law, don't cast it off. Don't throw it down. Don't despise it. Don't smite it to the ground like you have no use for it. He says you maintain and you keep it. You retain that law. Don't ever forsake it. You see, some folks cast it off early in childhood. Y'all know anything about rebellious children? Some children get bent early. They just get bent early. Now, I come from a family of 13. 13 of us. And all these personalities. 8 boys, 5 girls. All of these various personalities. And I can look up and down that line of my brothers and sisters, my siblings. And I can tell you there are a few in our family that got bent the wrong way early and never left that course. We don't know. Even when children know you're rebellious, you're rebellious. When children are looking at you saying, what is wrong with you? When children are trying to talk you into doing what's right, you know you're rebellious. Man, don't do that. What's wrong with you? But a couple of them got bent early for some reason, and they never straightened up. And we can see the fruit of it now. He says, don't throw it off. Don't cast it away. Don't throw it down. Hold on to it. Maintain it. You see, some cast it off early as in childhood, and some cast it off as they move into their teenage years and become rebellious, start listening to their peers instead of their parents, and they become rebellious. And then there are some of us who wait until we are adults. In fact, some of us can't wait to get there. You hear children say, I can't wait till I've grown. Why? So I can cast off your law. So I can despise those things that you've taught me. So I can get rid of all of that stuff. So I can show you I don't have no use for this stuff that you instilled in me. And so they can't wait till they get grown. Because some people, when they become adults, they cast off the law of their mother. The reason is because they fail to realize that the law of the mother was according to the law of God. And therefore, to cast off one is to cast off the other. Mm-hmm. Heeding your mother's instruction will make you look attractive. That's why he says, don't cast it off. He says, they shall be ornaments of grace around thy head and chains about thy neck. You see, when you wear obedience and you wear those lessons that's been instilled in you from your mother, when you go out into society, you look good. How many of y'all have seen a good, obedient child that seems like they got it together? They know their way around. They know how to talk to people. They know how to conduct themselves. They know how to handle things. And when you see that child so young, we are impressed, aren't we? And we recognize, who are your parents? Why, your mother, your father must be proud of you. Why? Because they know how to carry themselves in adult company. They know how to talk. They know how to respond. They know how to act. They know how to react. They are well-adjusted children because they went out into society with all of those things that was instilled in them, and it looks good on them. He says, when you keep your mother's law, he said, it will be like ornaments of grace around your head and chains about your neck. When we put chains and stuff on, it's because we want to look good. You see these young folks walking around today, boy, it's nothing like when they got a chain around their neck. Boy, they feel like they got it. They ready now. Well, it meant something then, too. The gold chain around the neck was a mark of distinction. Joseph was given a gold chain when invested with honor in Genesis chapter 41, verse 40 through 42. Daniel was given a gold chain when honored with glory and authority in Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 29. When you get to the New Testament writers, they talk about putting things around your neck, and they talk about dressing yourself up, but they're not talking about with a literal gold chain. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice verse number 3 and 4. Read it aloud for me.
Whose adorning let it not be that outward.
Wait a minute. Back up so we can get the context. Back up to verse number 1.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband.
Uh-huh.
And if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives.
Now, appreciate in this society at this time, women weren't treated well at all. Just recognize that. They weren't treated well at all in society. And they certainly were not put on equal footing. And they certainly could not speak in public, and a lot of things was going on. And so he was saying, now these women, the gospel is coming, the gospel is being preached, and some of these ladies are obeying the gospel, but their husbands are not responding to the gospel. And so he's telling them how to win their husbands. So he says, wow, wives, be in subjection. This comes out of chapter 2, where you have the Christians are being asked to be in subjection to the law, to the government, to the king. You're saying slaves are having to be in subjection also to their masters, chapter 2 and verse 18. So in chapter 3, he says, and likewise, ye wives, the same as I'm asking the Christians to be in subjection to the government, who are mistreating them, who are persecuting them. Nero is in the background of the book, and he is accusing Christians of burning Rome, even though he set the blaze himself, and now he's killing Christians. He says, you be in subjection. Do not revolt. Do not act ugly. Do not cause a scene. Be in subjection to the king. And then you slaves, be in subjection to your masters, not only to the good and to the gentle. It's easy to be good when people are good to you. But he said also to the froward, which is a word that means a curvature of the spine, which means this person is crooked and perverse. He says, so even though you got a perverse master, do not act out. Do not rebel. Do not start a revolt. Just be in subjection to your master. Why? Because God is going to settle all of those accounts. You just do what God told you to do and be the Christian God wants you to be, even under mistreatment. So he goes to chapter 3, where women are mistreated by their husbands and in society. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. And then he gives a reason. Come on.
While they behold your chaste conversation.
Wait a minute. Go back.
Likewise, your own husband, that if any obey not the word.
If any obey not the word, they what?
They also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives.
They heard the word of the gospel, but they didn't respond to it. She responded to it. So what is she going to have to do? Okay, they didn't respond to the word. What might they respond to? They might respond to the conversation of the wives, which means her conduct, the way she carries herself, the way she comports herself. When she is a spiritual Christian woman, he says they might respond to this. Read.
While they behold your chaste conversation.
While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with what?
With fear.
With fear, reverence, and awe. Come on, read.
Whose adorning let it not be that our outward adorning.
Wait a minute. Don't put the jewelry and all that kind of stuff on. That's not what's going to attract your husband to Christ. Come on, read.
Adorning of planting the hair, of the wearing of gold, or the putting on of a piece of apparel.
Uh-huh.
But let it be the hidden man of the heart.
Let it be the hidden man. You want to put on some jewelry. You want to wear the best jewelry, then you wear the best character. It's about your character. It's about your spiritual character when you put that on. Come on, read.
Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible.
That which is not corruptible.
Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit.
That gold chain, if it's not right, might turn green. It might turn green if it's not the real thing. Over time, that stuff don't last. But there's something that is incorruptible, and that is the what? A meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God,
of great price.
You want to dress up to please God, dress up your character. You see, he says, when you are obedient, an obedient woman that stands before society from God's perspective, if she carries herself with a meek and quiet spirit and she comports herself according to the word of God, that's precious in the sight of God. She looks good, and that looks good on her. And the same way with children, when they obey, he says it's going to be ornaments of grace around thy head and chains about thy neck. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 9 and 10, Paul says the same thing. And like manner also women adorn themselves with modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. At a banquet, the mother of George Washington was sitting beside a distinguished French officer. Turning to Washington's mother, the officer asked, "How have you managed to rear such a splendid son?" And she replied, "I taught him to obey. I taught him to obey." If your mother was a godly woman, or if your mother continues to be a godly woman, then she taught you some great things. Question, are you still in obedience, or have you forsaken her law? Forsake not the law of thy mother. The law of the mother is obedience. Forsake not the law of the mother, because the law of the mother is wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 25. Wise children produce happiness for parents. Don't you know that? Oh, you want to give your mother a great gift today? Tell her you still got the wisdom that she gave to you on yesterday. Tell her you still carry that wisdom with you. Let her see that you're wise beyond your years. Come on, read. Proverbs 23 and verse number 25.
Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice.
You see, wise children produce happiness for parents. A foolish son or daughter produces grief for their parents. And the Bible is clear. Like Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Consider Proverbs 17 and verse number 25. A foolish son is the grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Wow. Proverbs 15 verse number 20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Let me ask you, don't mothers worry enough about their children? We certainly should not do anything to give them any unnecessary grief. You see, your mother represents wisdom. If you listen, it will serve you throughout your lifetime. And it is a great joy for a mother when her children conduct themselves wisely and live according to the good education that she gave them. Every mother can respect that. Mothers know something. They know that they cannot go with their children throughout their lifetime. Oh, we'd love to, but we can't. Can't go with you throughout your lifetime. At some point, we got to release you. And mothers know that they can't be with you every step of the way. They know that they're not going to be able to be there when you have to make some tough decisions. They know they can't be there in your home with you throughout your lifetime. You've got to go out and make your own home. They cannot be there with you. They cannot be there when you choose your mate, whatever the case may be. Your mothers can't be there with you throughout your lifetime. But you know what can? Her wisdom. You see, she may not be able to go through with you. See, at some point, she's probably going to depart from this life, all things being equal. She'll depart from this life. She'll leave here before you. But her wisdom can go with you every step of the way. All you have to do is not forsake it. All you have to do is not cast it off. All you have to do is not throw it down to the ground as if you have no use for it. Something as simple as waking you up in the morning. How many of you, by show of hands, had their parents have to wake you up almost every morning when you were a child? Just a few of us. Just a few of us. They woke you up in the morning to get you ready for your day, for school. And you know what? Now, I only had about three hands. Now, some folks didn't participate, and we might have to have some folk come up and repent after this is over. But listen, how many of you had mothers that had to tell you when it was time to go to bed? A few hands? Okay. So our mothers had to tell us to go to bed. Now, why were they telling you to go to bed? They had to tell you to get ready, get your bath, get your shower, what have you, get cleaned up, get ready for bed. Why did they do that? They did that because they knew something you didn't know. But not only that, they woke you up in the morning at a proper time. Why? They knew something you didn't know. The reason they were telling you to go to bed is because they recognized that you needed proper rest. You see, proper rest is going to help your physical maturity. It's going to help your mental maturity. And it's going to give you the best opportunity to be successful on the next day. You don't do very well in school if you're tired and crazy. You stayed up to 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you got to be up at 6 and in school at 7, and then you're supposed to learn something while you're falling asleep with your head in your books. So what did they do? They made sure you got proper rest, and then they woke you up the next morning, because if they don't, many of us won't get up. So they get you up, they get some breakfast in your stomach, because you don't need to go on an empty stomach, and then they make sure your clothes is clean and everything, and they do that and then usher you off to school. Now, how often did they do that? They did that every day for years and years. They were training you. Now, they didn't even tell you what it was all about. They just put you through this routine, training you. Go to bed. I don't want to go to bed. We got to go to bed. You go to bed. Why? You don't know why it's necessary. Get up. Can I stay in bed a little? Get up. Get something. I'm not hungry. Eat something. And then go to school. What do you do? What do teenagers, college-age students do as soon as they're able to make their own decisions? Young adults. They abandon the law of the mother, because they didn't understand the wisdom.
Yes.
So what do? They stay up all night. Won't go to bed. And then they get up the next morning, and sometimes because they stayed up all night, now they're getting up running behind things. And now they have to run out, don't get breakfast, and they have to go on the job. Sometimes they're late because they didn't get rest. They didn't make it to work on time. Now you're in the unemployment line, and you're moving back in the house with mama. All of this because you abandoned her law. Little simple things like that is how we throw away all of those years and all of that time and all of that effort to train you, and you abandon it at first opportunity, and then you fail out of school or you don't do as well as you could because you don't get proper rest, you don't get proper nutrition, and you stay up too late and you get up late. And then they wonder what happened. I'll tell you what happened. You forsook your mother's law. You see, the reason your mother's law is wisdom is because your mother knows and understands that wisdom has great benefits to it. And every mother, because she understands the benefits of wisdom, desires that for her children. You see, wisdom will help you with understanding. Wisdom and understanding kind of go hand in hand. Like, look at a couple of passages. Look with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 13. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the chief thing. Well, therefore get wisdom. But in all thy getting, get an understanding. Proverbs 10, verse number 13, how does that read?
In the lips of him that hath understanding,
wisdom is found. All you have to do is let him open his mouth. Listen, if you are a fool, the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut. Before you open it and tell everybody I'm a fool, just keep your mouth shut. You know you're a fool, no one else does. So just sit quiet, because soon as you open your mouth, we recognize there's no understanding in that individual. There's no wisdom in that individual. See, the Bible says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Come on, read.
But a rod is for the back of him
that what?
That is void of
understanding. A person without understanding is preparing himself for that which is not good. Let me tell you something. When you lack understanding, you prepare yourself for all kinds of lashes. You prepare yourself for all kinds of whippings, if you will. You think about it. A person who lacks understanding, the Bible says the rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. He prepares for his own conscience to whip him. You know that thing that God put inside of you? That thing that makes you feel bad when you do something wrong and you know you wrong? And you start having this feeling that comes over you. That feeling like, that feeling that makes you tear your face up. That feeling that makes you cry. That feeling that makes you feel this type of feeling inside, and it's called remorse. Mm-hmm. It's called regret. When you can look back on something and you start to feel those feelings, that's that thing inside of you that's a part of your heart construction that God has put inside in order to help you and to train you and to keep you from going too far.
Yes.
If you will hear that thing and you will listen to that thing and that thing whip you like it's supposed to, then you can straighten up. And if that thing has the word of God with it, it's going to tell you exactly what's right. If you don't let it have the word of God with you, you might get fooled. It'll do its job. But if you convince yourself that something is wrong, that something wrong is right, it'll support you in that. But that thing will keep whipping you. And you see, what happens is when a man is void of understanding, he prepares himself to be whipped by his own conscience. Constantly being whipped by his conscience. When a man is void of understanding, he prepares himself for the tongue lashing of others to whip him. That's when people are after you. We talked about those people who you can't tell anything. Tell me how many people have had to go after those kind of people. You got your parents getting on you. You got your siblings getting on you. You got your friends getting on you. Everybody is whipping you with the tongue because you are to be blamed for the things that you're doing. You prepare yourself to be whipped by those who will give you a tongue lashing. Not only that, you prepare yourself for the government to whip you. Now, when your conscience is not enough, and when everybody that's in your line trying to talk to you and that's not enough, then the next thing you know, the government's going to get a hold of you. We got officers of the law that's roaming around out there to whip folk who seem like they can't get it any other way. Pretty soon, they close you behind bars. And you become a number. And if your crimes are great enough, they may do some other things with you. Even to the point if you live in a state of capital punishment, putting you to death. You see, a person puts himself and prepares himself for that kind of whipping. Why? Because they're void of understanding. And then he prepares himself for God to whip him in his righteous justice throughout all eternity. You see, the Bible says the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. You now know why your mother wanted to give you some wisdom and wanted you to wed understanding with it so that you won't have to take all these whippings that you're preparing yourself for should you be void of understanding. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 23, the Bible says, it is a sport for a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Understanding directs to the ways, the time, the places, and opportunities of practicing the lessons of wisdom. Wisdom will point out an essential thing, but understanding will feel and embrace that essential thing. Wisdom sees it, understanding feels it. Wisdom will discover it, but understanding will reach out and possess it. Wisdom. Your mother wanted you to have wisdom because she knew that it would give you long spiritual life. She knew that it would give you not only spiritual life, but long physical life and good health. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Have you ever seen anyone who is destructive in their behavior? Just self-destructive. Why? Because they lack wisdom. Wisdom can help you live a long time. Wisdom can help you live out your days. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you are to honor your father and mother, that it might be well with thee, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. A lot of those hard-headed people are no longer here. They are in their graves, because they didn't follow sound wisdom and advice. Wisdom will give you protection and a defense. This is what your mother knew. Look at Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 6.
For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety.
By wise counsel, you know the best thing a king could do? If he gets ready to go to war, the best thing he could do is get as many wise men as he had in his kingdom at his disposal and bring them in to ask them whether or not he should go to war, number one. Number two, what is the opportunity? What are the chances that they can succeed in this effort and the strategies that they can put forth and all these kind of things? He needs to find out whether or not there was any, because there would be some who would be wiser than he was in these matters. Bible says that that individual is wise because in a multitude of counselors there is safety. The same way in Proverbs 11 and verse number 14, again, the end of that verse says a multitude of counselors, there is safety. That means there is protection. Now, let me say this to you about your mothers. Do you not know that your mothers did not empty their cup of wisdom with you? They didn't empty it. In other words, they still got some wisdom left for the challenges you face in life now. I don't know why, when we are children and we're growing up in the home of our mother and our father, and they're teaching you and they're training you and they're teaching you wisdom and they're giving you all of this. And then soon as we become adults, we think that we need to abandon that. I don't have to listen to that anymore. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Is your mother a father in your adult life still one of your counselors?
Yes, sir.
Because you see these adult children grow up and lose their minds. They grow up and become crazy. In other words, they don't ask anybody for advice but the parents. They have counselors of peers and all of these folks and friends and their relationship, and they seek their counsel, but the counsel of the parents are not a part of your team. I don't get that. I don't understand that. It's as if you think, they said, well, you know what, I heard my mother and my father, I heard their voices all my childhood. Uh-huh. Now you need to hear it all your adulthood.
Yes. Amen.
They didn't empty their wisdom on you. In other words, they have more. They did not give you all of their wisdom. Why? Because all of their wisdom would not have been appropriate for you at that time. So they gave you the things you needed in childhood as you was growing up. And now when you move on into adulthood and you face different challenges and you move into different aspects of your life in relationships and all these kind of things, you put away the counselors that could help you in this situation. Now they can give you adult wisdom. It wouldn't have been right to give you adult wisdom when you were a child. You wouldn't have understood it. And now you get here, who better to talk to than the people who are invested in you the most? Who's more invested in you than your parents? Than your mother? She put everything into you to get you to this point, and now you throw off her counsel for someone else. I'm asking the person who's invested, why? Because she wants what's best. I got her little grandchildren. She's not going to mislead me. She gonna tell me right. She's invested all those years and all of that time and all of that effort and all of those tears and all of that strength that went into you, and now you're an adult. And that's why so many men and women get messed up in choosing a relationship, because who don't they ask for counsel? Go out and get that raggedy boy. He raggedy. Well, I say it the other way, he raggedy. Just raggedy. And you go get that boy instead of, and your parents could have spotted him a mile away. You could have been coming up the curb. They could have saw you get out the car and said, oh, take him back. Wherever you found him, take him back. But you didn't ask their wisdom, right? You didn't get their counsel. And so now you got to go through it. You got to go through it. And guess who's going to be with you every step of the way? They got to suffer through this with you. Why? Because you didn't seek their counsel. The mothers have more wisdom to give in your adulthood. In fact, my mother has helped me with my wife. You see, because I ask. And sometimes my wife understands, she knows the relationship I have with my mother, so sometimes she pulls my mother card. And she'll say something like, okay, I'm gonna tell your mama. That stops me every time. Stop me every time. We might be disagreeing on something, and I can get a little hard-headed when I disagree, so I might be disagreeing with her on something. I'll be like, no. And she said, let's ask your mother. Okay. She asked mama, then mama give me the phone call. She said, Greg, listen, do this. Because you know, husbands, sometimes we need help with our wives. We don't understand everything. And so sometimes we need some help. And who's going to be better to get that assistance than your mother? To tell you about your wife and how to be what you need to be toward her in certain situations. And so my mother has helped me, and things have worked out just fine. When Wanda and I first got married and we was going through our little ups and downs, and my mother would tell me, you need to do this and you need to stop that. You need to stop getting on her about that and start doing that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And you know what? My wife smiles because it worked. So that's just a help for you, brothers. If you got a living mother and you have some issues, call her and let her help you, because she has that kind of wisdom. Wisdom will give you protection and a defense, but it also gives you strength. Look at Proverbs 24 and verse number 5. Proverbs 24 and verse number 5.
A wise man is strong.
A wise man is strong.
Yea, a man of knowledge increases
strength. A wise man in this world can build a machine, and under his influence can increase his strength so that he can do the job of 1,000 men. Now, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? That's what a wise man can do. But do you know a wise man that's spiritual? He can build himself up on the word of God so that he can fight against the devil. That's what a wise man spiritual can do. So think about it. A wise man physical, he can sit here, he can engineer things, he can use his mind, his his knowledge, his ingenuity, and he can build a machine, and he can go out there and take care of a job that it would have took 1,000 men to do based on his influence of that machine. That's a wise man, and look what he can accomplish. But a wise man who puts the word of God in his heart, who lives according to that word, can so build himself up that he can fight the devil himself and put him on the road. That's what a wise man can do. And whether you know it or not, your mothers know and understand this. That's why they tried to give you wisdom. They tried to give you wisdom because the Bible never told us to run from the devil. He told us to put the devil on the run. James says, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. You've got to take a stand and you've got to withstand, but you don't ever turn and run. Knowledge of God's word, wisdom will give you strength. And wisdom, my friend, will build your house. Every wise woman, Solomon said, builds her house, but the foolish will pluck it down with her hands. Don't you know your mother wants you to build your house? To set up your house so it is an inviting place for your husband and your children. She wants you to build your house. She don't want you through foolishness to tear it down. Wise. Let me say this, and the sermon is yours. It won't take me but a moment to say this. Your mother's law is righteousness. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse number 24.
The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice.
Uh-huh.
And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him.
The righteous bring joy and gladness to their parents. In other words, your parents rejoice not that you are rich. You hear people sometimes say, oh, my son is a daughter, is a doctor, and my daughter is a lawyer, and all of those are great accomplishments in the world, and they show themselves to be proud of what they've accomplished. But you know what the greatest accomplishment is? When you can say, my son, my daughter is righteous. When you can say, my son, my daughter is respectful and loves the Lord. And they are righteous individuals. I have prepared them to go out into the world and learn how to live among humanity and make a good showing for God. Wow. They rejoice not because they're rich, but because they are righteous. More important than any other achievement in this life is that of a righteous character that is displayed by your children, because what that does is it shows and reflects the conduct of the child that has come from the parent. Nothing makes a mother prouder than to have her good, righteous son or daughter to live according to the righteous standard given by God. Such a child would do good with God throughout his lifetime. Why? Because what Peter said in Acts 10 and verse number 34, he says, of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Question. Will you keep your mother's law? Have you kept your mother's law? Have you kept that law of obedience? All of that time and effort and training that went into you, have you kept it? Or did you abandon it? Have you thrown it by the wayside? Have you kept your mother's law of wisdom and wed it with understanding? So that not only do you know a thing, you know what our parents wanted us to do? They wanted us not only to know it, they wanted to know that we understand. And they would ask you, do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what you're supposed to do? They wanted you not only to know it, they wanted you to understand it so that it weds itself into wisdom because you practice those things that you're learning. Have you forsaken the wisdom that was given to you by your mother as it pertains to the things that she taught you? Have you forsaken the righteousness that she taught you? What did our parents teach us? They taught us how to get along with other people. They taught us how to treat other people. They taught us how to respect other people. That's called righteousness in the Bible. And some folk can't get along in the Bible. They're bad in the law.
fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, my daughters, hear the instruction of our Father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be ornaments of grace around thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And fools delight in their scorn, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you out by reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will give my words unto you. For I have called, ye have refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Ye rejected all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You don't want that to be said of you. All you have to do, if you want to honor your mother this day, I'm not saying don't give her a gift. I'm not saying don't take her out to eat. I'm not saying don't buy her good things and all that kind of stuff. I'm saying if you really want to honor your mother, let her know that, Mama, I still kept your law of obedience. I got it right with me. Mama, I still got the wisdom that you imparted unto me, and I'm living according to that wisdom. Mama, I still am trusting in the righteousness that you put in front of me, and I'm living according to the righteous standard. Mama, I know that your law is God's law, and therefore, your child is right with God as he is with you. Now, try that with your mother today. Now, I realize some of y'all have messed up so bad you can't say that, because you say to your mama, she'll look at you like, really? You don't even treat her right. How are you going to tell your mama that? But if you can do that and you can say that to your mother, I'm talking about putting a smile on her face that's better than all the gifts that you can buy, the dinners that you can purchase and that you can do. I'm telling you, that's going to be better. And if you're here this morning, you want to really honor your mother, then honor her by showing that you are ready to be obedient to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Honor her by showing her that you're going to come and give your heart to God and give your life to him and live for him all the days of your life. What will be better than that? That if you came in here as a child that has not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and you show your mother today, oh, I'm going to give my life. I'm going to change my life this very day. That's a good start. You believe in Jesus Christ? Then be willing to repent of your sins. Your sins sent Jesus to the cross, and you got to repent of those sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You got to confess him with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32-33. You got to, my friend, be baptized for the remission of your sins, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 22:16, Romans 6:3-4. Colossians 2:11-12, and a host of other passages. You've got to be baptized, immersed in water for the removal of your sins, and he'll add you to his church, to the church of Christ. Romans 16:16, Acts 2:47, Revelation 2:10. And you just live faithfully until the time that you depart from this life. And if your mama is right with God and you right with God, you'll see each other again when this life separates you in eternity. And then you can really say to mama, I kept your law, and look what it did for me. If you need to respond to this invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.